7654321.
Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Can I Get a Podcast? I am Chris Gross, along with my good buddy and co-host Jeffrey Cooperstein. Jeffrey, what's up, man?
What's up, man? We took a little week break here. Chris had some obligations to take care of, but we are back at it. And Chris, it's almost football season, baby.
I know, and I am so ready. And just weeks off are going to try to make that a rarity. We're going to try to bring podcasts consistently once a week. That way, you know, even if you listen to nothing else, at least once a week, you're getting the big topics in sports, both locally, since we are based out of the DFW area, and nationally. We're going to hit both of them. But as you mentioned, college football, you're starting to get that smell.
Oh, baby.
You know, like when you're closing in on a Mexican restaurant and you get the faint smell, you like, no.
You smell the fajita chicken.
Yeah. You know, I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way, or there's one close. We're kind of getting that smell of college football. Like, I can smell the chicken. I can smell it. I'm getting close. So I wanted to talk a little college football. Since we are based here locally in DFW, I wanted to look at not just the Big 12. Let's look at the state of Texas as a whole. And let's talk about some things to watch for this year, but more specifically, let's look at the five guys or teams who have the most pressure going into this upcoming college football season.
Let's get into it.
So let's start with Tom Herman at the University of Texas. And only going into his second year, I'm of the mindset that you've got to give a coach 3 years. Get a recruiting class or two in. You can't really judge things off 1 or 2 years. I think you got to give it 3. So Tom Herman only going into his second year at Texas, but you're coming off of what I call like a sneaky win season, where technically it's a winning season, but I don't really view it that way just because you were 6-6, you got into a bowl and you won. To me, that's only a sneaky winning season.
I'm going to tell you this right now. It was a disappointing season.
It was a disappointing season. And so you won 3 of your last 5 games. So your last 5 games of the season, not including the bowl game, win at Baylor, lose to TCU, beat Kansas, we're talking about Texas. You beat West Virginia, and then you have the disappointing loss to Texas Tech to close out the season.
Shout out Sam Ehlinger. Love you.
That to me is not Texas standards.
It's not. The Texas standards is you're holding up the crystal ball at the end of the year, and if you're not, it's a failure. That's Texas standards.
So you are a Texas fan. What, 7-6 for Texas would be great for a lot of schools. I think if you're Texas to be standard, you've got to be like going into the second or third, like at least to the last weekend, and still be in contention for the Big 12 title. So I think anything less than like 8 or 9 wins.
If Tom Herman does not win at least eight regular season games this year, he will be in trouble. He won't get fired this year, but there will be people asking about his job and whether he's fit to do the job at the University of Texas, because it's still one of the premier programs in the country, and they expect championships, whether they've won them or not.
They've got a good defense.
They've got a very good defense.
That you can count on.
That's a top 15 defense in the country.
What are they going to do with running backs this year? That's been sketchy.
They have running back by committee, basically. They have the two freshmen who are now sophomores coming back, Antonio Carter and Danny Young.
Yeah.
They have Keontae Ingram, who they're really high on, coming in from Carthage, really good freshman. Kyle Porter is the senior of the group. He's kind of like the pass blocker type. They need to find that feature back. I don't know if that's on the roster, though. I'm not sure that is.
And, of course, you don't know what you're going to expect out of quarterback with Sam Ehlinger there.
I think, and if Tom Herman heard this, he would jump on you. It's Ehlinger with the hard G.
Sorry, Sam Ellinger.
Sam Ellinger.
Was it called? Was he called Ellinger last year, or has it always been Ellinger? It's always,
Tom has made it a point to correct the media that it is Ellinger.
Maybe I say Ellinger just to make him mad now. So I'm looking at the great Dave Campbell's Texas football, and I want to point you to their predictions for Texas this year. They're predicting a 9-3 season. You win all your non-conference games. So you win Maryland, Tulsa, USC. And then I'll just read you their Big 12 losses because that's less than their Big 12 wins. Right. It's Kansas State, Oklahoma, and West Virginia.
And
so that includes them winning over TCU.
TCU's the Big 12 opener. That's coming off. And here, and I was thinking about this earlier because obviously I'm a huge Texas fan. They need to go 3-0 in non-conference.
Yeah.
It's not like it's an expectation to go 3-0 in conference this year. They are better than the three teams they're going to play. And going into TCU to start the Big 12, that's no easy task.
Yeah, that's tough.
Austin is not this great home field advantage where you can't win in Austin, as proven in years past. TCU still has Gary Patterson. They still have a pretty good team. That'll be tough. I'm not sure they beat TCU. I had 8-4.
Yeah.
I had 8-4. They always find a way to lose against Kansas State. So yeah. I can see them losing that one. West Virginia and Oklahoma are better teams than they are. And they'll lose one they shouldn't. And so that's how I get to 8-4.
And it's Texas. So you got to be wary going
yes,
into the Kansas
the
game.
Expectations must... Yes, Kansas. You never know.
So
that's in Lawrence this year, by the way.
So our first team, and I don't want to put it all on Herman, just because you're in your second season. But I will say 7-6 is not acceptable for Texas. You got pressure on Texas this year. Let's move now to our next situation of massive pressure in the state of Texas in college football. As you're listening to Can I Get a Podcast, he's Jeffrey Cooperstein, I'm Chris Gross. Let's make our way west and talk about Cliff Kingsbury and Texas Tech. He's headed into his sixth season. He saved his job with a win over Texas last year.
He sure did.
So as bad as we talk about that loss being for Texas, it ended up being a really good thing for Cliff Kingsbury. Because they win 27-23. If you lose that game, he's
fired.
On his way out. This is I found interesting. So in his five seasons so far, do you want to guess what his record is against Texas, OU, and TCU?
Oh,
so
wow.
So in 5 years, you would have played 15 games against those three teams. I say Oklahoma and TCU, your premier teams in the Big 12 over the last 5 years, and I threw Texas in because that's your big name.
I want to say he's only beat Texas once, and I think that was last year. I don't think he's ever beaten Oklahoma. I'm going to say it's like 1-13, 1-12.
He's 4-11.
Okay, I was close.
And I went through and I did this math earlier, and I wish I would have kept track. Never beaten Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So 0-5 against Oklahoma.
I didn't think he beat Oklahoma.
And I think he's beaten TCU twice. So that means you've gotten one win over Texas. So 4-11 against your three premier teams in the conference. Dude, that's just, it's not acceptable.
Here's my thing about Texas Tech sports. Is Texas Tech expecting to compete in the Big 12 for titles? I don't think so.
I want to say no.
I don't think so. I think as long as they put up their 45 points a game and they have an elite offense, I don't really think that they care if they win very much. However, I need Cliff to have a big year this year. So my boy Seth Luttrell from UNT doesn't leave and go take that job.
It's funny. I was actually reading something earlier, and it was about coaches in Texas who are most likely to lose their job. And it was Seth Luttrell. And at first I was like, why is that? And I'm like, oh, because he's going to leave for a bigger time
job. He's going to go get a big boy job, and I'm going to root like hell for him.
So I just think Cliff has been a disappointment at Texas Tech. You're right. I don't think there are big expectations, but when you think of your Big 12 air raid offense, Texas Tech is like what you go to first, and their issue has been defense. And they improved that a little bit last year, but then you closed out this season so poorly. So I'm just going to ask you real quick, how many wins does Tech need this year for Kingsbury to keep his job?
They need 7 wins.
Yeah.
I don't think 6-6 keeps his job.
And dude, low-key, they've got a sneaky non-conference schedule. So you start with Ole Miss, which I think you can win, But you can't count them out just because you've got a Power 5 team. It's in Houston. So you've got you've got a neutral site. And then you've got Lamar, and then you play Houston. So I think if things start out slow, dude, you could be going into conference one and two, and that's tricky.
They wouldn't fire him mid-year, would they? if they're 1-2 out of the gate, and then they lose a couple there, and they're 1-4?
Let me put it this way. You might, just because one of those two losses would be to Ole Miss or Lamar. And I think that's unacceptable.
Man, that's not... He has that watch, though.
So we're moving on to our next guy, pressure on in Texas. And I want to say there's some pressure on Matt Rhule. I don't think there's a lot, but you are coming off a year of disappointment.
1-11
last year.
Yeah, not 2-10.
And three of your losses are Liberty, UTSA, and Duke.
Yeesh.
I don't think Baylor wants to slip back into where they were pre-Art Briles.
Man, and when you hear Matt Rhule talk, you immediately want to go run out on the field and run through a brick wall for him. I mean, he seems like he has all the right things going for Baylor. He had a pretty decent recruiting class, I believe. They were either top 25 or top 30. They had a decent recruiting class this year. Matt Rhule seems like he knows what he's doing, but just the outside things that Baylor has going on there are not great, and I think that plays a big part in why they're not very good right now.
So I think you do have a longer leash for this guy, since he was brought in more for
to build a program,
disciplinary and long-term reasons than to win right now. But you were right. Rivals had him a 32nd class, and 24/7 Sports said 30th, which is amazing thinking about what is going on at that program right now and just coming off just a terrible season that they had last year.
Man, that's just a testament to what Texas high school football, there's clearly it's the best talent in the country, Texas, Florida, and California. You don't find more players.
I'm looking at their schedule, and it's going to be funny because I think they're going to win 4 games, and I think it's going to be their first 4 games. So you play Abilene Christian, UTSA, Duke, and Kansas. That's your first 4. And I think the Big 12 runs the gamut on Baylor. I don't know. At least that one's at home.
Do they get Utsa?
We would have probably said the same thing last year, and they lost those.
I know.
But I think their best 4 shots at wins
are the first
start
four.
The game.
Yeah,
so
that's
you could end the game or you end your season on just a terrible, terrible run.
I like Charlie Brewer, by the way. I just want to say that real quick. I think he's a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah, I think so too. And like I said, you know, I like Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
I would like for... I'm of the mindset, and this is probably a discussion for a different podcast, I like when other Big 12 teams do well, just because it makes it better when your team wins.
This is absolutely a discussion for another podcast, because I am on the absolute opposite end of the spectrum.
I don't want Baylor to win the conference anytime soon, don't get me wrong, but I want that Baylor-TCU matchup to mean something. I don't want TCU playing a one-win Baylor team when a possible playoff spot is on the line. So let me put it that way. This is Can I Get a Podcast? That's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. We're running through the 5 people or schools under the most pressure going into this upcoming season. We've already mentioned the University of Texas, Cliff Kingsbury, and Matt Rhule. Now we're going to go outside the Big 12. And first place we got to go is Texas A&M. So you're starting with Jimbo Fisher, first year, huge contract. And again, you're in a situation where Jimbo's not on the hot seat. But this is
not cold, man.
The Aggies have been... You are a crazy, insane quarterback away from being totally irrelevant since you joined the SEC. And they like to pretend that they're not. Like, they will win like 6 or 7 games a year, just because you can feed on the bottom feeders in the SEC. But they are not a team that is contending for national titles.
Man, here's my thing with Texas A&M. There is no reason that Texas A&M should not be an elite of the elite programs in college football. They have unlimited resources with some of the richest boosters, all that oil money out there in the Texas oil fields. They have a 100,000-seat stadium. By the way, the best stadium in the country, bar none. It's so beautiful. If you haven't been out to Kyle Field, please go. It's great. Texas A&M is not where they should be, and they hired Jimbo to do that. What exactly has Jimbo done since he won that championship in 2013? And that's a big, I mean, he won the national championship, but his Florida State teams have not been great since.
I think there's a reason you leave a school where you've won a national championship. Doing something like that buys you like a lifetime contract.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's a reason you left where they had struggled. Remember, who were they ranked number two when they played Alabama at the beginning of, was that last year? They were in one of those, maybe it was 2 years ago, in the kickoff game. They were ranked like number two or three. And that was by far the high point of the season where they completely fell off from that point. But just being a new coach in College Station, I mean, I think to keep Aggie fans happy, you've got to get what, 7 wins, 8 wins this season?
That's what they've had for the last 20 years is 6, 7, 8 wins. I think Aggie fans would want to see the 10-2, 11-1, but they're not getting that right away because they have plenty of issues on the field too.
Let's run through their schedule. And admittedly, we are not SEC guys, so I'm just going to ask you for rough estimates here. Let's count up their win total. I'll throw it to you.
Let's do it.
So, Northwestern State.
Win.
Clemson.
Loss.
Louisiana Monroe.
Win.
Alabama.
Loss.
You play Arkansas at Jerry World.
They always win that game one way or another.
Kentucky.
Win.
South Carolina.
Loss.
Mississippi State.
Where is that?
Starkville.
Loss.
Auburn.
Loss.
Ole Miss.
Win.
UAB.
Win.
And LSU.
Never beat LSU. Loss.
So 6 wins.
Man.
That might be my
burnt orange glasses, but dude, I don't see it this year. I don't see it. I mean, they're going to have a monster recruiting class this year with Jimbo, but I don't see it this year.
And you know what? They always find a way to get like a sneaky, easy SEC schedule. I'm not saying that the SEC schedule is ever hard.
They've never played Georgia. They've played Florida twice since they've been in the SEC.
They've never played Georgia?
I'm pretty sure that's correct.
This just goes to how much
they've ever played Georgia.
How much I hate non-Big 12 conference schedules. How you can be in the Big 12 for what? They've been in there for like 6 years now?
2012 was the first year, yeah.
And you've never... Okay, like, again, another conversation for another time. But, like, when you're getting, like, Kentucky's and Arkansas...
Vanderbilt.
Whatever. Like, that's an SEC, whatever. But, yeah, you can get, like, 6 or 7 wins for, like, A&M to me is not good enough.
No, it's not good. Like, But like we said, their standards are probably irrationally high. They've never been an elite. They haven't won since 1939.
That's really sad.
World War II was happening in 1939, if you didn't know that.
Are you glad that A&M is in the SEC being a Texas fan?
Man, no, because I want to play them every year. And I wish they could just figure out a way to do it. It's both of their faults that they're not playing. I'm not naive enough to think that Texas doesn't have a role in that. But they're... Them being in the... They finish like 4th and 5th in their division every year.
Let me put it this way about A&M's schedule. Most fans would love to have their conference schedule and have 4 non-conference games.
Whew, yeah, I know. The way the SEC does things is, you know, so it's a little jacked
up. Think you've got to get... And again, you can't expect much out of a coach in their first year, but one, it's Jimbo Fisher, a big name who's being paid a lot of money.
$75 million.
And you've got one of the craziest, highest expecting fan bases in college football. I mean, this schedule, if you're a good team, you get to 8 or 9 wins. I mean, no one's expecting you to beat Bama.
Right.
But when you go up to those close games, South Carolina, Mississippi State, those should be ones that you're fighting. And then this annual LSU battle that they do every year.
That they always find a way to lose in one way or another.
You've got to make that one close. So we'll close it out. Our last team we're going to go to here, let's talk about UNT.
Let's do it. Go Mean Green.
And I want to talk about both Seth Luttrell and Mason Fine. We've talked about their head coach, Seth Luttrell, who's... When a Power 5 school especially like if one fires their coach here in Texas, Seth Luttrell is going to be at the top of the list.
Absolutely.
He's going to be a guy who's going to be heavily sought after. And the quarterback, Mason Fine, dude, when you're looking around the state of Texas, it's like tumbleweeds when you're looking at quarterbacks. And Mason Fine is your lone guy there. He's your top quarterback in the state. He might be one of your best quarterbacks in the country into this season.
Mason Fine's a damn good quarterback. He's going to throw for a bunch of yards.
UNT had the 19th best offense last year.
I
don't know if anybody knows that.
Seth Luttrell was a leech guy, man. They have that air raid offense where they just let Mason just sling it, man, and no huddle, get up and go.
Let's talk about the pressure that's going to be on UNT, because last year the only conference losses they had were against Lane Kiffin and FAU. Yep. And man, that was a powerhouse team.
Oh, they were ridiculous.
So you make it to the Conference USA title game. I don't know what you can really expect out of a team. I don't know how you can improve on a 9-win season. Last year you lose your bowl game. You have a couple tough non-conference games. They played SMU and Iowa last year. So you're the UNT guy. I just want to kind of get your vibe. Is where are your expectations this year? Are you expecting 9 wins?
Yeah, I think so. I think the expectation is they're going to get back to the conference championship game. And you know what? I think week 3 against Arkansas, I'm not saying that's not a winnable game for UNT. I think they can go in there and give Arkansas a game. Will they win it? Probably not. Could they? I think so. Nine is right where I think they're going to be. They always have issues on defense, but, I mean, that offense is just really fun to watch, and Mason is going to throw for a bunch of yards.
I think you're going to get a good start. You start with SMU, a team who lost Chad Morris, who did good things with that team. And then, like you said, you've got Arkansas week 3. You don't have to worry about FAU until the end of November, until the second last game of the season.
And then they're going to have to play him again in the conference championship game, barring they get there.
Yeah, so, dude, I think out of all these teams we've talked about, your win total, and I get it, you're in a weaker conference, but your biggest win total is of expectations is for UNT. And I don't think that that's unfounded. I think they've got the better quarterback. They've got a head coach who knows what he's doing, has taken roots in a smaller school and found out a way to make that successful. Where, who was the coach before Luttrell? Remind me.
That would be Dan McCarney.
Who just had a terrible year. Was that two years ago?
That was my sophomore year, 2015, yes.
Who did they get? They just got spanked by somebody big time.
I forget who it was. It was on homecoming. They lost to an FCS team.
It was like 66 to something,
it was
right?
Like Portland State or something like that. Yeah, 66-3.
I'm going to look it up because I have to know.
Let's look it up.
But just looking at how Luttrell has turned things around there, and now you've got Mason Fine. Dude, I'm kind of with you where if you don't get to 9 wins and at least you're in the conference championship game, this is a disappointing season for North Texas.
And I would say so. And it's really the first year that they've had big expectations in forever. I mean, in the early 2000s, they were good and they made bowl games 4 consecutive years. But since then, they haven't been good. 2013, they were good, but their whole team was seniors, so they came back the next year and went 4-8. This is the first year people are excited about Mean Green football.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Mean Green football. I'm going to go to a couple games. I got free season tickets as a first-year alumni, so I'll be taking advantage of that.
Wow, that's pretty sweet. I, as a having no relation to UNT football, am low-key excited about North Texas football.
It'll be fun, man.
I will say I've never wanted to until this season, outside of their bowl game last year. In the conference title game. I've never wanted to stop down for a little Mean Green football, but I'm going to do that
and
this year.
You know what? Neither have I. But no, I will be watching.
You know what, Jeffrey? I think this is the right way before we transition into the 24-second shot clock and close out our podcast here. Let's close our football talk with a little discussion of what happened on October 10th, 2015.
Ooh, boy.
As the Bad Boys of Portland State, the Vikings, rush into Denton, Texas and smash the Mean Green 66-7.
October 10th, 2015.
Yeah.
That was also the day Charlie Strong was carried off the field in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl.
You know,
for beating Oklahoma.
That like that might be a North Texas like 30 for 30 in the making.
Man,
October 10th, 2015.
One of my best friends plays basketball at Portland State from high school, by the way.
That is quick. That is like a weird
quick
connection.
Footnote. Man, that must have been the most embarrassing day in UNT athletics in recent memory. I was texting my buddies who were at the game.
Yeah.
And they were saying in the third quarter, the athletic director is on the sideline getting ready to fire McCarney the second the game's over.
Dude, like, let's like take a quick second and dive into the history books here. But just following from afar, like following things along on Twitter, that was like, they fired him and he just like, he was like walking out of the building into reporters and like nobody had any idea what was going on, right?
Yeah.
That whole thing was kind of sketchy as
they,
I remember.
They fired him maybe 5 minutes after that game was over. Rightfully so, but I mean, that was crazy. McCarney was a great guy too, by the way.
Yeah.
He was the defensive line coach at Florida when they won their national championship. So my dad was kind of familiar with him and knew him a little bit. He was a good guy. Unfortunately, he was very old. He ran a he ran an I formation pro style offense in Texas, where we like to sling the ball here in the great state of Texas. But yeah, that was a pretty crazy day.
I think that was your sacrificial lamb of UNT. You gotta have a game like that.
Sure.
Or a season like that to get a Seth Littrell.
It get worse before it gets better, man.
Just like you wanted to sacrifice Charlie Strong for the betterment of
the
University
biggest
of Texas.
I was the biggest Kansas University fan on the planet that day when they lost.
Which is sad, but we close things out like we always do. It's called the 24-second shot clock, and I stole this idea from my former radio teacher. You get 24 seconds. We put you on a shot clock just like you're on the court. And you can talk about whatever you want. But when the 24 second ends, you're done. So, Jeffrey, we're going to throw it to you here.
Cool.
And your 24 seconds begins now.
So, I started a new gig the other day. Started to do the social media for Mavs Gaming, which, if y'all don't know, is the NBA 2K professional league, where professional 2K players are playing against each other representing NBA teams. It's a really interesting little league. I did not think that I would be super into it and super interested in it, but I'm really invested in it now. Go watch the NBA 2K League on Twitch.
Dude, that stuff is really interesting to me because I was always kind of interested I play video games, and so I was kind of interested into this. The first time I tuned in, dude, I was not aware that the guys played as like their own avatars.
Yeah, they play as their own avatars, and they're all like similar overall, so it's an even playing field. Apparently, 2K built a privately coded game for them.
Oh.
So it's like completely different than any public version of 2K. And it's like really, it's hard to play it. And yeah, man, no, it's actually interesting. I was the game on Saturday. They had like 20,000 viewers watching that on Twitch. So, I mean, it's a big community. It was really cool.
Dude, I think you can snag me like one of those secret 2K copies so I can play a league.
I need to get one first. I don't have a gaming PC, but, you know, we'll see what we can do.
Oh, they all play on PCs.
Yeah, they play on Alienware PCs. It's not console, and they all have their own like special controllers and all that. It's nuts.
I don't have one of those.
Same.
So it's probably not going to happen. Well, so let's move into my 24-second shot clock. And until like for the next couple weeks, I'm going to use my 24 seconds here as my Bachelor recap. So Bachelor recap this weekend. Colton gets sent home. I'm not a huge fan of Colton. Too much drama there. He's got some things going on in his personal life. You've got a former girlfriend that came back onto the show, kind of threw a wrench into things. But, dude, Jason's left. I'm not a huge fan of Jason. So I'm going to be upset if we're doing our 24-second shot clock next week and Jason is still here.
Colton's the former NFL player, yes?
He is, yes.
Okay, I know something.
And, dude, like... I don't want... So I'm saving this to my 24 seconds because I don't want to bore people out of their minds. But He's so shady, dude. Like, he told Becca that this was his first time ever. So when you get to the Final Four, you have what's called hometowns. When you get to the Final Four, and it's hard to word it because it's like your bachelor or bachelorette, like the main contestant, will go to the hometowns of the four guys or girls she has left. And so she's going to Colton's hometown, and Colton's like, oh my gosh, Becca, this is the first time I've ever brought a girl home to like meet my family. And like within 30 minutes of him saying that on the show, tweets are like sending out, okay, well, how about the time, because he used to date Allie Raisman, and it's like, what about this
picture? Did he really?
He did, yeah.
Wow, okay. And he's like, I see you, Colton.
It's like, how about this time, Allie Raisman, this picture of Allie Raisman and your family, or from 3 years ago, this girl and pictures of your family.
Man, that's shady stuff. There's been way too much Bachelor talk on Can I Get a Podcast. I believe this is the second time we've done it, and there's going to be more, I'm sure.
I'm going to try to conserve it to the 24-second shot clock.
Hey, but man, you we'll do see. You.
It might seep out, but that is Can I Get a Podcast?
That was a fun one, man. I love college football.
Dude, me too. And so, like, it might be, once we get into heavy college football season...
we might be taking it all college football, man.
It might be a struggle to get any other topics in. But, Jeffrey, it's been fun, man. Why don't you throw your Twitter handle out there for the people?
My Twitter is at jcoop, JR27. That's also Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, whatever else.
And what's your burner account?
I don't have a burner account.
You do have a burner account.
I don't.
I still haven't had time to go find it, but I'm going to.
I don't
to.
Think you can find it because it doesn't exist.
That might be one of my projects that I work on, like, in one of these upcoming weeks. That might be what my 24-second shot clock is about one day.
Go for it.
But I'm Chris Gross. You can find me on Twitter at Chris is Gross, KRISISGROSS. And depending on how you listen to the podcast here, there are other ways to listen to it as well. You can head on over to KESN1033.com, click on the featured audio tab at the top, and then all you got to do from there, click on Can I Get a Podcast? That's one way if you want to stream it. Also, if you got an iPhone or an iPad or any kind of that stuff, check us out on Apple Podcasts. That's a quick way to, anytime we get sent out a new podcast, it's automatically in your feed. So plenty of ways to do that. Jeffrey, we're going to say goodbye until next week. It's been fun, man.
It's been fun. Like I said earlier, tell your friends, tell your wives, tell your ex-wives, tell your husbands, tell your cousins.
And it's been Can I Get a Podcast? We'll see you next week.
Okay, thanks.